Little victories are full deliverance. What do you want this morning? Little victories.
Door number two.
Or full deliverance. What do you want? What's in your heart? In the book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16, we read of the time when the period of Judges is winding down, actually, by the time we get there. Moses, Joshua, Gideon are gone, and tragically, the key thought in Scripture of this period, and I'm going to preach New Testament reality out of Old Testament truth. But the thought and key verse of this time is, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Come on, say that verse with me. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Welcome to today. Welcome to today. Israel would come under the hands of oppression by surrounding countries and enemies. And one such enemy was the Philistines. You heard the stories, if you went to church as a child, about the Philistines, David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. This is a story on the way to the monarchy being set up under King Saul and then King David. The pinnacle of the history for Israel is King David. But this is before that. And the final judge of the era teaches us so much from his life. I want to ask you again, how many are grateful for the grace of Jesus in your life? It goes like this. Let's learn from Judges chapter 13, 1 through 5. Judges 13, 1 through 5. If you mark it in your own Bible, you can read it when you go home today. I will have it up here in the New King James as well. But Judges 13, verses 1 through 5. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember, they would do evil and the judgment fall upon them. They'd cry out to God and he would send a deliverer. 40 years a deliverer. Another period like this, 40 years of deliverance. This would go on and on for a long time in Israel. And here we go again. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for how long? 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful to not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." How many know who we're talking about this morning? Come on, come on, what's his name?
Samson.
That's right, Samson. Who are the Philistines? Let's talk about it before we get to Samson. What was the context? I'm going to actually go through quite a little bit of history this morning, try to hit some of the highlights of this. If you're familiar with it, it will be rehearsal. If you're not familiar with it, you need to know the context of the story so we can conclude with some lessons for our lives from the life of Samson. Who were the Philistines? Well, some say they were the early forerunners of the giants in the land. Some say they were from Crete or Cyprus and pushed into this land where they set up five major cities and they had quite a swath of land. The Philistines arrived in large numbers during the invasion of what's called the Sea Peoples in about 1200 BC. They organized a pentapolis, if you will, or a confederation of five cities. You see them there, Ashdod and Ashkelon and Gaza along the Mediterranean coast. There was Ekron and there was Gath. You see Judah, you see Israel, and you see where the Philistine area was. They organized these cities on the strategic coastal highway, and Gath and Ekron on the edge of Shephelah or the Judean foothills. When the Philistine aggression moved eastward into the land of Benjamin and Judah, the Israelites weren't strong enough and just simply accepted that domination without resistance. How many know when spiritual warfare comes into your life, we're to rise up with resistance in the name of Jesus? We don't just roll over and play dead when the devil wants to mess you up, throw condemnation, temptation your way. Every Christian who knows Jesus lives in their hearts needs to rise up and say, get out in Jesus' name. I'm not going that way. I'm walking with the Lord. Come on, say it with me. Get out in Jesus' name. But they didn't do that. It appears that the Philistines were into the Iron Age, while Israel and some other surrounding countries were still in the Bronze Age. You will recall the Philistines were the one at a certain section of Scripture where they had the chariots, and Israel would have to take their plows and their sickles and take them down to the Philistines to be sharpened. Anybody remember that section of your Scripture? It is in the Bible. Okay, you can check it if you want later. But they would take them there to be sharpened. One Scripture records that King Saul and Jonathan had the only two swords to be found, while the rest of his soldiers had none. So they were situated along the Mediterranean Sea. And the Philistines, again, the descendants of the giant races that once possessed Canaan. They were rude, warlike, restless, and grew into a powerful nation. Now, if you know your Bible, if you have studied much, you find really two sets of Philistines. There was an earlier set of peaceful, more peaceful-like people who were there under Abraham's time, a more peaceful people, under King Abimelech was his name. Those who came later were the fierce tribal people. So strong was their threat. We really will go somewhere, if you'll hang in with me for context. We've got a lot to learn this morning. But so strong was their fierceness that the people of Dan had to move to the north. They didn't rout the enemy. The Lord told them He would be with them in routing the enemy out of their land. But they didn't believe Him. They gave room, let the enemies linger in the land, and pretty soon these guys were pushing Dan to the north. The Philistine threat, by the way, was one of the main things that caused Israel to ask Samuel to give them a king, so they could be strong like all the other nations. These are swords and thorns in Israel's side. They continue through the Scripture. You find them in the last of days. The Bible declares they will be defeated at the end. So into this picture comes Samson. Samson's calling. Now, how many want to be a Hebrew scholar here this morning? Come on, you all want to speak Hebrew? All right, four of you do. All right, for you four, say it with me. His name, Samson, is actually Shimshon. Can you say it with me? Shimshon. I've written it phonetically for you. So when you say it for Samson, we'll call him Samson, we always have, but actually it's Shimshon, and it means the sunlight. He was from the tribe of Dan, and his parents received an angelic vision. They received an angelic visit. They received an angelic message and angelic instructions. Dad was a faithful man. His name was Manoah. And Mom heard the word and saw the visitation. And Dad heard the message from Mom. How many dads always believe everything your wives tell you? So Dad, like us, said, what was that? And then he prayed that God would send the angel again. It's kind of humorous, really. You got to find your scriptures humorous at times. So he sends the angel again. And Manoah is just a sincere guy. He goes, I want to know, what's the instruction? What are we supposed to do? And basically, the angel repeats it again and then adds in, just like I told your wife. That's kind of between the words there. But, you know, it's just like I told her, buddy. But anyway, it's a powerful set of scriptures, what he said. So the Lord foretells what would be the birth of Samson and his life. He would be a Nazarite. He would take a Nazarite vow, and you read that in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. It meant devoted or consecrated, and there were things they had to do. They had to abstain from fermented drink, refrain from cutting their hair. Children of the 60s, we all were Nazarites in the 60s, right? Okay, refrain from cutting his hair, avoid contact with the dead bodies. Now, Nazarites normally took their vows for a limited period of time, but Samson's vow and calling was for how long? Life. It was for life. For life. He was to be a Nazarite of God all his life. And his mother was to share for a time in the Nazarite vow as part of it. But besides being set aside as a Nazarite, God called Samson to be a deliverer, to begin the process of deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Listen carefully again to what applies to us with this title. Do you want little victories or full deliverance? Now, Samson's leadership call as judge and deliverer didn't take the form of leading an army, but he did it more by himself, being a lone champion for the cause of the people. And what a champion! And literally, you read some of the treatises in the Jewish history, this is one of their most important heroes. By the way, he also shows up in the New Testament in Hebrews 11, the Hero's Hall of Faith. He is a hero before God. Now, you will see that he was not a perfect hero. Come on. He was not a perfect hero. How many perfect heroes are in the room this morning? Yes, if I'm under the blood of Jesus. Cleansed by the blood, we're clean, we're free. Yes, we are. But we're not perfect yet. We're still walking it out. He was not a perfect hero. You'll find it. But he then, therefore, by what he did, caused the Philistines to be distracted away from taking larger victories against the Israelites. Watch what happens. We will continue. Judges 13, 24 and 25. So the woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. He judged Israel for 20 years. He was a judge for 20 years. And Samson apparently began about at the age of 20. And his judgeship continued approximately the entire 40-year Philistine oppression, which began at his birth. Now, this is cool. If you like history at all in the Bible, Samson was a contemporary of Samuel. So when you consider Samuel the prophet in your Old Testament, understand that that's most likely the time that Samson, a real Bible character, indeed, but a real person in the Bible, was alive and doing his work during the ministry of Samuel. And he helped subdue the Philistines, and Samuel finished it up, and David finally finished it up. How many remember how did David finally finish it up? He did what? How did he kill Goliath? Well, yeah, and then what? Yeah, he took his sling to the forehead and then, whack, cut off the guy's head. But he cut off the headship, if you will, of demonic attack. Now look at a spiritual principle. He defeated the enemy and he cut off the head, the authority that the enemy had into their nation. All right, so let's take a look this morning at Samson's faltering follow-through. Say that with me. Samson's faltering follow through. Please understand, you have a calling from Jesus. Each of us do in this room. And we're not yet perfect. We know that in our own lives very acutely. We see it in the Bible. But instead of seeing that we're not perfect, remembering that Samson isn't perfect, I want you to see, what can I learn from this life for me this morning? How can I apply the New Testament perspectives of grace, mercy, redemption, judgment on sin, etc. And what can I learn in my own faith and practice? We're going to reach into the Old Testament for a few minutes to get some New Testament principles for living. And so you have your context when you go home if you want to look it up in your own Bible this morning. It's Judges 14. Actually, we began with 13 through chapter 16. It's long been said that there are three tests for men and women of God. Three. Watch them. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That translates typically into sex, money, and popularity. How many know that? By the way, did you know that one of the strongest beliefs of millennials, the newest, youngest generation, is that they're all going to be famous by the time they're 25? It's one of their strongest beliefs. They're going to be famous, and they're all going to be well-known by the time they're 25, because their heroes are people like Mark Zuckerberg and some of the younger folks who have made huge billion-dollar industries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But right here is where the rubber hits the road in a lot of lives, a lot of our lives. How many are grateful for the grace of God and His mercy in our lives? Man, thank God. But we have to understand, this is where the dealings oftentimes will come. So thank God for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Samson had a wandering heart and a wandering eye. Proverbs, look at these scriptures. Now watch them. They help you and me today. This isn't just an Old Testament lesson. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your what? Come on, what? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word, thy word, this, the word of God, have I hidden in my heart that I might not what? That I might not sin against you. So Samson dealt with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye in Judges 14. Let's just hit some of the highlights. What we have is he desires, the scripture says, a young Philistine woman. She lived in Timnah, and she was off limits for a good Israeli. She was not supposed to be considered. And Samson, this young guy who insists that his parents get her for him as his wife, they object. Marriages were arranged by the parents. They object to him. But he is so strong in his assistance, they acquiesce to it. Now, we do find in the Bible that the Lord says God was setting this up. We know that he wanted to bring discipline and dealing into the Philistinian countries and into their land, into their attitude, into their nation. And God is going to deal with them, and he's going to raise up Samson. But this is a confusing situation and not good. It's quiet in here. Guys, I don't want a show of hands. Ladies can admit it too. A wandering heart and a wandering eye will get you into serious trouble. There's a verse that talks about, I will set no evil before me. We've actually printed up that on 8.5 by 11 pages for people to take who are on the road a lot, and they tape it to the front of their television set when they're staying in some hotels, because porn is so easy to download. And nowadays, it's not just on your TV, it's on your computer every time you turn around. You can hardly look in the margins of some pages you might hit on, even not intending to hit on anything. So what we've set before our heart and what we set before our eyes is crucial to keeping us right with God. How many want to walk right with Jesus? Sure we do. That's why we're here. We want to keep growing. We want to keep getting better. But Samson yielded himself to the lust of the flesh and the eye. So what happens? They object. They finally allow him to prevail. And he miraculously on the way kills a lion, remember? He kills a lion. And he goes back a little bit later, and he kills this lion with his bare hands. And he goes back a little bit later, and he finds the dead carcass of the lion. What's in the lion? How many remember the Bible story? It's bees have left a deposit of honey. And he goes in, and he gets some, and it's delicious, and he gives some to his parents. They hold a 7-day feast, a Nazarite vow, by the way, not to touch fermented drink. And they're having a 7-day drunk party down there with the Philistines for his marriage. As we move on from that, we take a look, and then he comes up and he poses this riddle. He says, if you can guess what this is, then I will get you 30 changes of clothing. If I stump you, we play stumps the Samson, if I stump you, you got to get me 30 changes of clothing. And the Philistines begin to give his wife to be, remember, a terrible time. Have you only brought this man down to kill us? What's the problem with you? And they threaten to burn her and her father alive. She presses Samson every single day for the answer. Now, maybe this comes really vivid to me. One of the questions that poses in my heart, maybe it does yours too, wouldn't you get it after the second or third time when she's posing you to, or pushing you to give you the answer? Wouldn't after a while you step up and go, what's with you? He doesn't do that. How many know when we get ourselves into sin and we start yielding to temptation, our spiritual vision decays? We just don't see what's going on. And he's blindly, he's just like a guy, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Lovely lady here. I can't see anything else. So she's pushing him. Tell me your secret. Tell me your secret. On the seventh day, he finally can't handle it anymore and tells her his secret. She goes and tells them. Now remember, she was deathly afraid of being burned alive. Remember, there's a verse in Scripture that says, that thing which I feared so greatly has come upon me. She was scared to death of being burned alive. So she tells his secret. They tell him the answer. And he says, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have my answer. But he went miles and miles away, killed 30 Philistines, and got the change of garments. In his rage and anger for what bothered him, he went and killed 30 to get what he needed to fulfill his promise. His anger and his rage. Little victories or full deliverance. He was called to be a deliverer of Israel. But he got angry and full of rage for what bothered him and what they did to him. Interesting. We'll see it again. Judges 15, verses 1 through 6, we find that he discovers his wife dead. Later he goes down to visit her, and he finds that the father gave her away. And the father gave her away to his best man, basically, for the wedding, because he says, I thought you hated her, which is the terminology they use before, I thought you wanted to divorce her. And he had no intent. This was probably a marriage set up where the wife stayed with her parents rather than wife going to his house. She stayed with her parents and he would come to visit her upon occasion. Some marriages were arranged that way in Philistine and other countries. But she had been given away. And he was raging and full of anger. So much so, you remember what happens? How many? Who remembers what happened now? He takes 300 foxes and he ties their tails together and he puts a fire torch in their tails. Now, this was most likely jackals. Jackals around there were all over Palestine and they were easier to catch than foxes. But do you know what this is all about? Sending them then out into the Philistine fields. These animals hate fire. It sounds very cruel to me, but these animals hate fire, but they would be going crazy to try to get away from this, and they would carry the fire everywhere they would go. So you have a huge conflagration. A huge fire begins to take place. And in fact, because of his rage and because of his anger, what happens is the fire then burns up all of their crops. It takes away, listen, I know you're reading that, but it takes away the grain that was already harvested. The fire took away the standing grain that was yet to be harvested. And it also took away their vineyards and olive groves. Basically, Samson's action burned out every one of their crops. So the Philistines come back and they set fire to his wife and her father. Do you remember what she was trying to avoid? Been burned alive. And what happened? Set fire to his wife and mother. Exactly what she feared came upon her. Now, Judges 15 verse 8 tells us Samson viciously slaughters then many of the Philistines. And he goes to a cave at the rock of Etam. And you can see that in proportion to where Bethlehem is. And it was a strong cliff with a bunch of series of caves in it. And that's where he went. Now, I just want to teach you some perspectives of this. It'll all add up to some points that really matter to you and me at the end. It's more than just a Bible study. So the term viciously, he viciously attacked them, literally is a wrestling term. And it meant leg on thigh. It meant a literally ferocious attack. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, but what drove it was his own personal fierceness, rage and anger. So he goes to this place, and then we have 3,000 men of Judah arrest him. Now, I'm going to pause right here. I want you to read this second part to me out loud. They don't join him in deliverance for Israel. Now think about it. Samson's the strongest man they've ever known in their entire lives. They have never seen anybody with this kind of strength rise up against the Philistines, who are vicious, attacking, ruthless people. But Samson can defeat them and does so on every hand. 3,000 men of Judah come to him. They are comfortable in bondage. Samson makes them uncomfortable instead of the Philistine rule making them uncomfortable. Come on. Does that mean anything to you? They had a chance for full deliverance. They had a chance for a big time deliverance from the Philistines to rout the enemy out of their land, to stand up and stand strong and say, okay, man, you're the judge, you're leading us, let's go to victory. But he's standing up, saying some truth, doing what needed to be done, may not have been from perfect motive, but they were more comfortable in their bondage than they were in rising up for victory. So Samson then kills 1,000 of them with the jawbone of a donkey. You remember the story? Which is truly a miracle. And then another miracle happens because he's deathly thirsty afterwards. And the Bible says the ground opened up and a stream poured forth. And that stream lasted for generations and generations and generations. People could point to it and say, there's the stream where it happened. Next, Samson goes to a prostitute in Gaza. You go, man of God, what are you doing? The story makes no sense, does it? What are you doing? What's the man of God doing in Gaza? I want to say one thing to you. I want you to really hear me. And, you know, I know it's history. I love history. I try to get some points out of it that are worthwhile. But what I want you to know about this point right here, don't let your attitude be, I wonder what I can do and still be okay with God. Let your attitude instead be, I just want to get as close to him as I possibly can. Pastor Sherry, you have a favorite verse. Tell us what it is. As for me. As for me, I get as close to him as I possibly can. And I'll tell everyone of the wonderful ways he rescues me. If Samson's attitude had been, you know, I think I'm going to worry about staying close to God instead of wandering down to Gaza to get a prostitute, there might have been a bigger deliverance instead of a little victory. What do we want in our lives? What do we want in our lives? The enemy surrounds him then. The enemy finds out he's in Gaza and surround him, and they're going to wait until the morning. Remember, there's a great big gate there. They got him shut in. Samson can't get out. We'll get some sleep tonight, and we'll go back and arrest him in the morning. Samson somehow finds out it's possible, commentaries say, that he began to repent. He realized what he had done. And his strength did not leave him, because if you recall, Samson picks up the gate and carries it away. How would you like to be those at Gaza saying, we got him, we'll get him in the morning. Hey, you ready? You got the troops all planned, everything's ready to go. And all of a sudden, you see the gate be picked up. And Samson's walking away with your massive gate. Do you think that would intimidate you a little? Just a little? So the enemy didn't win there. Sin brings bondage. Repentance brings release, and the gates can't hold you. Thank God the gates can't hold you. Somebody say that with me. Thank God the gates can't hold you. So then we come to number three, Delilah. Why couldn't he see what was happening? Delilah, if you study the history, could have been a temple prostitute for Dagon, the god of the Philistines. But it starts all over again. Tell me where your strength lies. Come on, tell me where your strength lies. Well, you know, he begins to lie to her. And he says, you know, you weave my hair together with these, you know, these things. You tie me up with these certain ropes. And she keeps saying, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he breaks the ropes and he gets the things out of his hair. And she keeps going, you're lying to me. And he should be turned to her and say, shut up. Shut up. What am I doing here? Church, have you ever been there? Come on. What am I doing here? This isn't where I belong. I'm called by Jesus. I'm His. I shouldn't be here. Forgive me, Lord. Because the longer I stay, the more trouble I'm going to get in. Come on. Don't look so holy at me. But it's easy. You know, you start to make a choice, and pretty soon it's easier to make that choice again. Now, you might be all guilty, you know, and pretty soon, that's not so bad. And well, that little thing on the computer, that's not so bad. You know, I wouldn't go out and buy a magazine, but the computer, that's easy. Nobody sees that. That's not so bad. Or that television show. Listen, you want me to be honest with you? I like action, okay? I'm an action kind of guy. So there was a show on TV that I like. And the characters were played well. It's based on one of the movies decades ago. And man, it was just, I liked it. And they did great. We turned that on. And I actually recommended it to somebody a few weeks back. Hey, here's a show you might really enjoy. We turned it on Thursday night. We had to record it, you know. Turned it on. And the first thing that comes out is some hardly dressed lady. And the scene goes on and on and on. And I turn to Sherry and I say, it's over. We're not watching that again. I don't want that. Come on, church. I don't want that in my life. Do you? I don't want it. You know, you have other areas where things might be different for you. But I'm sitting there going, I need all the strength I can get, Lord. After all, I throw the slide thing around. But I need a leg up on the enemy. And I got one through Jesus. If I'll listen to him. She starts all over again, and they basically promise her 1,100 shekels of silver. We'll make you rich. We'll give you thousands upon thousands of dollars if you tell us the secret of his strength. They think he's got some sort of magic potion or amulet or whatever it is that gives him his power. And you wonder, oh, Samson, you hurt, don't you? You read it, go, oh, man, why aren't you seeing this? By the way, you understand the issue wasn't the length of Samson's hair. It was the vow to God. His hair was long as part of a Nazarite vow. It's not his long hair. It's what the vow meant. Stay close to Jesus. Consecration of my life to Jesus means, as for me, I want to get as close to him as I possibly can. But she stays on him and stays on him. And he finally tells Delilah the secret of where his strength lies. And God left him. He didn't know God left him. She cuts his hair. The enemy comes in. And God has departed. How many of you thank God we're on this side of the cross? They put his eyes out. They begin with him grinding out grain. Basically, the female job at the time. But for Samson, this giant of a strong man, he's on the bottom. And his vision is gone. And it's probable that during this very dark time, which happens even in our lives, he begins to cry to God again. And Samson's hair begins to grow again. It wasn't his hair. It was the God who allowed the hair to grow. What's interesting is his eyesight didn't return, but his hair began to grow. If you're in sin this morning, repent. Turn around. Ask him to forgive you. These altars are open. You got people here who pray for you. We love you. And this isn't a condemning message. It's recognized. Maybe it's a spiritual dipstick message. Well, how am I? Oh, I'm about a quart low. Maybe I need to get right. Because I don't want to go on in a way that leads me wrong. And what happens next? It's an absolute miracle of God. The Samson that we know started to have his hair grow back again. And at the hand of a little boy, they march him out. Now, the Philistines, we have these images of them. But, you know, they were smart enough in their engineering to build a major size temple building that two columns held on the roof 3,000 people. They're pretty smart people. 3,000 people are on the roof alone. How many less or how many more are downstairs? We don't know. And they take Samson and they march him out. And they want him to make sport, the Bible says. What they wanted to do was mock him. Because our God Dagon has defeated this man and the Israelites are ours. The enemy always, the devil will taunt you with condemnation, with shame, with accusation, make you think you are nothing. If you have repented from any sin that separates you from God, you are clean by the blood of Jesus. Stand strong on it. Tell the enemy like we did at the beginning, get out in Jesus' name. Come on, say it with me. Get out in Jesus' name. They take him out to the pillars. He's blind. But his hair begins to grow. And he says to the little boy, put my hands on the pillars. And he cries out to God. And they're laughing. And they're mocking. And he says, oh God, give me vindication for my eyes. And there's one of two ways that it happened. These were wooden beams, most likely on stone platforms. And he either grabbed them and pulled them to himself, or he pushed them so the wooden beams went off their stone platforms and the roof collapses. And the Bible tells us that there were more that died in his end than all the others he had defeated in his strength. Why couldn't he see what was happening? Well, it just happens that way in our lives sometimes. And in fact, sometimes our slideshow just doesn't want to work. You're doing great. Let's keep going. His hands are placed on the pillars and God hears his prayer in another one. He's a picture for us. Stop long enough to read this, would you? Would you read it out loud with me? He's a picture for us of the conflict for the man and woman called by God. With a purpose. Would you listen to me for a minute as your pastor this morning? He's called you and me. We're called to make a difference in our families, with our friends, with people all around us. Your purpose is bigger than yourself. Will you settle for little victories? Or will we move for full deliverance? Will you let your life begin and end with you? Because sadly, that's what happened with Samson. Great deliverances for Israel. But do you, like me, wonder, what could it have been? What could it have been? But Samson lived like today. Little commitment. You know, commitment's hard to come by nowadays. You understand that, right? That's why marriages break up in the church, break up everywhere. Who cares? No big deal. Commitment. Say, I'll be there. Oh, sorry, I couldn't be there. You know what I mean. It's just we all wrestle with these things in our lives, don't we? Because it's against the spirit of the age. When all the fish are swimming downstream, is it easy or fun to be the little fishy going back up the other way? Yeah. That's what it is in Christianity. Jesus changes us, turns us around in the stream. That's what repentance is, 180-degree turn. And we start swimming the other way. Will you serve and lead and love and respond in consecration to Jesus and in commitment in such a way that your fruit brings the delivering power of Jesus to others all around you? Commitment costs. What might have happened? Now, I want you to know I sat at my chair and wept when I studied Samson. Let me tell you what my first conclusion was. Well, I was thinking, I thought about this all week long. My first conclusion was, this is a man who only settled for little victories, and what could it have been? That was a little, what's wrong with that guy? Until I repented, because I realized he's also written up in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. And he's one of the most important heroes Israel ever had. And I thought, you know, I don't want to say anything but what God says about this man. And I realized my own life. I have the same decisions you do. You have the same I do. God help us live for you. I'm not critical of this hero. But let me finish with a couple of fantastic scriptures that I want you to hold on to. Because no matter what it is in your life, he's dealing with you in one area, me in another area. Thank God we get to keep growing. Amen? Amen. We get to keep growing. But look what the Bible says, Romans 5, verse 20. The law entered that the offense might abound. Watch, 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 watch. But where, please read it real loud with me. I want you to get out of your chairs almost and read this with me real loud. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Again, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. One more time. And what's wrong with you, Pastor Kemp? I can't hear you. One more time. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Watch it out of the next scripture. James 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And I want you to really boom it out, church. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Again, mercy triumphs over judgment. One more time. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What it'll be? Little victories? Full deliverance? Or maybe we learn from this life the message of grace and what God can do in a life that's been redeemed by his goodness. Samson brought such deliverance, by the way, that after this collapse occurred, do you realize that for another 20 years, they were stunned and amazed and didn't have many more victories. And Samuel, after Samson's death, continued to lead them into victory over the Philistines. So God used him. But like me, let's all say this morning, God, use me to your full intent. God, use me in all the ways you've called me. Oh God, use me for full deliverance. Stand with me, would you please? 10 minutes, we're going to start our annual financial report. If you contribute and give, or this is your church, you know you will be giving. You're welcome to remain as we take a look at what the Lord has done. But above all this morning, I want to encourage you, not discourage you. This story is so real. We realize real stuff happens to real people, and we've got a real God who ministers his grace and mercy to us. I want to say it one more time. I, for one, am so grateful I'm on this side of the cross. Amen. Aren't you? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being so good. We thank you, Lord, for the life story of Samson. One of their biggest heroes, and so many lessons. And we can sit on this side of history and go, how could he do it? But when we stop long enough and see ourselves, I'm sure people wonder that about us. How could they do that? Jesus, thanks for your grace and your mercy. And as for me and my house, we all determined together we want to serve you. Jesus, now take your liberty in our lives. Keep us growing. Keep us going. We worship you. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. How great is our God. How great is His name? He's the greatest one. The old song, forever the same, it says. He is so good. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, we're thankful that you're here. We invite you back next Sunday morning at the same. We're going to have a great service next Sunday. Prophet Rich Flores will be here. He's from Texas. He's going to go to Pullman this Wednesday night. And he'll be here on Sunday morning. And so we're just looking forward to the time together and you getting to know a new man of God. We'll get to know him a fresh way, too. But it should be a great time. Invite your friends and family. He also has a healing ministry. So prophetic and healing. And we expect to see God do great things. But thank you for being here this morning. Raise your hands for the blessing, would you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And I'm going to give you one more scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now bless your people with their future and with their hope in Jesus. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord. God bless you. Be released.